Yeah, I know you mentioned about listening. So will you go over, I guess, practical steps on how to listen to God all during service? Or do you want to answer that question now?
I'll do that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. In short, though, for those of you who are here might not be in that class, William's question is, how do you listen? I listen by meditating on Scripture. Now, that you may think is an academic exercise, but it isn't really. It's a spiritual exercise where you take God's Word and you look at it. And I will do this for you today. When we do inductive Bible study, I ask three questions, and I teach the class to ask these three questions about every text. I ask the question, what does it say? What does it mean? How does it apply to your life? That's how I listen to God. By asking those three questions. What does it say? What does it mean in its context? And how does it apply to my life? And you guys, I share this in total love. I think I'm 100% accurate. The power of the Word of God becomes powerful to us when we understand its true meaning in its context as it was delivered to the first people who heard it. And just like we have a Chinese culture, we could have a Western American culture, we have a tendency to interpret the Bible in our culture. But we need to understand the culture, the geography, the setting, the language, and everything as it was interpreted at that, or given at that particular time. And contrary to what I often hear, is that people will say, well, the Bible could be interpreted in many ways. Absolutely not. There's one interpretation, many applications, one interpretation, and we need to dig for that. And I find in churches where there's not a good method of Bible study in place, they have a harder time praying because they're praying thoughts. They aren't praying truth. And you'll hear me say this tomorrow. It's in your outline. But I was listening. I was in Canada speaking, and there was some people from South Africa, just a lot of great, great Bible teachers. And when I started hearing them, I honestly said, why am I here? I just need to be listening. I don't need to be teaching. But anyway, it was my turn. And so I listened to all of them and actually crafted my message from what they said. And the bottom line is, we pray best with our Bibles open. And we're going to practice that a little bit. And later on, I told William how we would do it. But we pray best with our Bibles open. And the way I listen to God is that I'll take whatever scripture I'm in, I have a tendency to read through a book in the Bible, you know, in my, let's say, devotional time. And I'll take a chapter and I'll say, what did that say? If there are any words in there that I don't understand, I look them up. What did it say? What's it mean in this context? And now, go a little further. How does that apply to my life? And I'm talking to the Lord. Lord, how does this apply to my life? And then I allow the Lord by His Spirit to show me application of that. You know, and I'm just going through Genesis right now and looking at the life of Abraham and his meekness and all those kinds of things. And how does this apply to my life? Think about my life and my family, what's going on in my life and how this applies. And then I agree with God that I want that to be true. And so I think I've heard from God. Now, I will tell you, there are other times when we're praying about a particular matter of where to go or not to go, maybe decisions that aren't outlined clearly in the Scripture. You just have to wait, and there's a lot of ways that God confirms that, maybe through counsel, through authorities. Maybe there'll just be a strong desire to do some things because of great God's given you grace to do it, and so forth. So those are the ways. But I always start with Scripture and hearing from God. It troubles me when I hear people stand up and say, well, God told me. You know, I'm careful about those kinds of things because I'm not out for extra revelation. There's one revelation. This is the Word of God. And His Spirit takes it, applies it to my heart. And from that relationship comes other decisions. Is that an answer?
Yes.
Okay. Another question? Yes.
Short.
We talked about him, knowing his presence, God, Jesus' presence, but we also talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling us and giving us wisdom and everything. And I guess the question is, how do you distinguish that, or how does that work together with knowing that God, Jesus' presence, as well as acknowledging the Holy Spirit's presence also?
It's a great question, David. I just want to refer you to scripture, but in light of that, I had the very same question asked. In July, I think, I did the Evangelical Baptist Mission, which is a mission that has a number of missionaries around the world, have an annual enrichment conference, and I taught them 60 missionary families from around the world, as well as staff of the church and of the mission, and they were there, and they're real sharp theologically. And so in teaching him, the very same question was asked by a man named Rick. And I just give to you what I would give here. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." That would be Allah, another of the same kind. "That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, and he dwells with you, and shall be in you." And so, Dave, when I talk about the presence of Jesus, I am talking practically about the presence of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that was sent by Jesus, who said, "I will be with you." This other person, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you, he's going to be in you. You are going to be in him. And so in a very practical way, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. But I don't separate them as far as when I'm teaching about it, because they're one and the same. And so that would be my answer. Good question. We are practicing the presence of Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I love this. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless." As orphans, one translation we read, "I will come to you, and at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath these commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." And so the answer to Dave's question is through the Holy Spirit. Okay, next. Larry Joe.
Yes, I wanted to go back to this item, the second session on platform for conflict resolution. You gave a lot of examples of people that you've, in the churches that you've ministered to, and maybe just a little bit more meat into how did you actually bring two parties together and resolve those conflicts, using Matthew 18 and so forth. How do you get them to agree, disagree, even, or whatever?
It's a great question. I'll be glad to answer it like this. Case in point, I had two strong leaders, and we sensed there was a coolness between them. And I would get reports, and I got to the point where when I first took the church, it was so troubled that I had to really work with them hands-on every situation. But my mode of operation was to disciple faithful men and women who would teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2 model, that was my model. Because I told them, I said, if we're going to grow this way in number, we have to grow this way in shepherds. There has to be a lot of shepherds amongst the flock. And so I was always about looking for shepherds and building those shepherds so that there would be multiplying men and women throughout the congregation that would shepherd the flock. So we ended up with a number of leaders that were leaders of leaders, and two of those main leaders were at odds with each other, even though we had taught this. And so I understood that something had to be done. There was a coolness in the leadership. We had some bad reports that would come from board meetings and so forth, and I wasn't there. And so I said, we need to meet, and understanding what we have taught you here in this last session, so I asked Bill, our administrator, if he would contact those men, and he did, and we had a meeting. And so we came in a private room, and it was Joe, Mike, Bill, and Mike. And it was actually Mike and Mike. and this Mike was in charge of the buildings, and this Mike was in charge of the money. So you can understand how they needed to get along. Well, at any rate, they were at odds, misunderstanding. This man was, even though he handled the money, he had some building background too, and so this man would be doing the buildings and so forth. And for 22 years of my time there, we were either buying or building something because we just continued to grow. And they're still doing that. They're finishing those things and going on. We did it all debt-free. And so, and our people were not wealthy people. We were basically farmers and factory workers and so forth, so we had to save up and work and save up and work. Well, this man, who had some building experience, he didn't think this man that was doing the building was doing it right, and he was wasting money, and he had the purse strings, and so this was going on. This man was in trustee meetings, raising havoc about something, didn't like the way this guy. And so, misunderstandings, nothing moral of any nature like that, but just that. So we came together, we went around the circle, and I did exactly this, God being my witness. I said, Mike, will you be willing to welcome Christ's presence here? And I identified, I understand there's tension here, we get reports back, and you know I love you both, and I needed a witness there with Bill and so forth. And will you welcome Christ's presence? Yes, Bill, will you? Yes, Mike, will you? Yes. Will you ask him to take charge of the meeting? Yes. Will you? Yes. Will you? Yes. These men are top-notch men. They are neat guys. They are my friends today. And then I went around. Will you let Christ change you? Yes. You? Yes. You? Yes. And so we talked and we prayed. And then we talked and we prayed, practicing the presence of Christ. We talk and we pray, try to clarify issues, read some scripture maybe if necessary. I don't know that at that particular time we even needed to, because some were real practical issues. And it broke when this Mike said, I didn't know that's what you meant by that. And this Mike said, well, that's what I meant. Really? Yeah, that's what I meant. I had no idea you were talking about that. And so what happened, because we humbled ourselves and were in Christ's presence, then the clarifications of the issue could come to the surface. And when the issues were clarified, then the reconciliation was made. And so we got done, and I remember the two guys right in front of me. They walked over. One of them had little tears running down here. Big hug. Forgive me for misunderstanding, you know, and things were settled. That's the meat, Larry. That's how it works. In the interim time, between the time of my departure and the time of the new pastor, as you can well imagine, there were issues that came up. And there were some sensitive issues that came up. And so the guys were trying to hammer that through and how they should lead the congregation and how to work that out. They had a transition team or whatever. And in some cases it was mishandled and there's some reaction from the church. And so then as time went along, there had to be some more of these kinds of meetings. And they called them, though. I wasn't there. I was gone. But they would call the meetings. And the present pastor, whose name is Scott, he talked to me later and he said, I have never... And he's been in ministry maybe 25 years. He said, I have never had in 1 week, I had two of our major leaders apologize in front of the church for the way they handled some issues. And he said, I've never seen that happen. And he just, through that, he knew that God was going to work because of that kind of humility and leadership. So when I flesh it out, this is how I do it. If you had trouble, I don't know, are you married? Okay. Yeah, and your wife is, what's her name?
Margie.
Margie. Let's say Larry and Margie are fighting, you know. And it gets so heated, you know, you have to go to the pastor. You come, we would work through this, you know. Does that answer your question? Give you some ideas? It'd be fun to bring those two guys here and let you see them. One's from San Antonio. And he was a Lutheran carpenter that came to our town to work on the courthouse and came to our church just to visit. They were saved. came to our church to visit, and the Lord got a hold of their heart. They became very active in our church and actually came on staff as the building coordinator. And so, okay, good question. God really works in a place where there's humility, doesn't he? Okay, anything else?
Yeah, no, question.
Roger, you just said, you know, in a conflict situation, you use this Christ as actively present and in charge. How about can we apply it to a normal meeting, for example, like deacon's meeting, mission meeting? How can we incorporate those kind of elements, Christ actively present and in charge, so that the meeting will not be only focused on the administrative, but also focused on the spiritual and the ministry aspect?
Right. Practicing this not only in the bad times, but the good times. Mm-hmm. And just counting on his presence to make a difference. And that's why every meeting would begin in prayer, you know, not just a prayer, but actually an attitude of prayer like this, which we've mentioned. And so when we were seeking the Lord concerning, let's say, a direction for Awana or direction for a children's ministry or something, we'd start with the leaders bathing that in prayer. Lord, which direction would you have us go? You're the one that knows what needs to happen here. You know what staffing needs to be done or what facilities need to be created, what curriculum needs to be chosen. And so, Lord, we're coming to you with that. We don't want to come with preconceived ideas of how this ought to go. So it's just an attitude of humility in prayer and even the vision that he might give us of what he would like to do in the place. I'm sure you probably, being Southern Baptist Church, have heard of Henry Blackaby. Have you not? Anyway, Dr. Blackaby shocked me the other, it was last spring, we were at the Cove, and he said to the audience, he said, you know, a lot of people I hear, they get the model of find 12 men, because that's what Jesus did, find 12 men and disciple them and so forth, and you know, that's kind of what I thought. He said, that's not the model at all. He said, Jesus met with the Father and got his direction. You know, Father could have indicated that he chose three or chose four or five. We need to get with the Lord and find out what he wants to do in those good times as well in moving on in the situation. Good question. And when you do that, with that attitude, it's like he'll give you a consensus. Ideas will begin to come. People will be free to talk. They'll even be free to disagree with each other. You know, I ought to be able to say, you know, I'm concerned about that direction and not feel that that's inappropriate. But you talk it out, you work it through, and all of a sudden, I remember specifically, you got to know that as we were finishing this building, one piece at a time, you know, maybe we'd gather at $50,000, and that doesn't go very far in today's market, and then maybe $75,000, we would have to pray about the next part of the building to finish. Because we grew into the building instead of turnkey type thing, and so we got the shell up. And that's a wonderful story in itself. I should write a book on that story. But let's say we got the shell up and we've accumulated 70,000. Now, Lord, where do you want us to finish next? And I remember specifically coming to a room with the leaders, and I just knew what we ought to do. You know, I knew. I just knew what we ought to do. And we got in there, and I remember Steve Thornsborough, who was the chairman of the deacons, he began to talk. And Lauren Glasscock, chairman of the trustees, alongside of him, and they began to talk as we had prayed with this attitude. And they began to say, you know, in light of our church and where it is, it just seems like this is where God's leading. And my heart said, they're right. And we put it all together, and then the next piece was done, and the next piece, and the next piece, and now they've finished it all. And it's just come together as the ministry's grown. But that was because we learned to practice the presence of Christ and what's the next thing instead of just my attitude versus your attitude.
So,
To follow up is that how much time do you usually spend on, you know, those kind of good meetings, and also, you know, sometimes that when we pray, we may not get the answer right away. Maybe, say, 10 people attend a meeting, maybe two of them get the right answer from the Lord, but the other is still, you know, in the seeking, you know, process. So, so when practically, when we in a meeting, we usually kind of pressure to get answers. Okay, we want to finish everything, but what is the art, you know, for being, okay, some of the things have to be done in the meeting, but some of the things have to be in the process of seeking and clarifying. So how can we have a balance?
Well, when God saved us, he didn't intend for us to put our brain on the shelf. And so in any good project, there needs to be counsel, there needs to be research, It needs to be thought through and prayed. You know, you're praying over all of this. And so oftentimes these assignments would be given. Let's say William is to look into this, and this is to look into this. And so you bring back good, solid, intelligent evidence to the table. And so you're using logic and reason and practical application, but you're praying over it with a humble attitude all the time. And God wants to give us, if we ask Him for a loaf of bread, He doesn't want to give us a stone. And if we're asking for meat, He doesn't want to give us a serpent. He wants to give us those things. But He also wants us to come together as one and bring the information to the table. And from that, you know, you begin to see things. So there is a practical balance between the two. It's not just, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? But it's praying over the natural processes of what you would do in making decisions. Does that help?
Because sometimes we have prayer just seems like a unnecessary item that may not be important item. We may pray in the meeting for 3 minutes, but the meeting will last for 2 hours. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're trying to get the balance. How much time should be appropriate? You know, is it, there's no formula or whatever.
There's not a formula.
Yeah.
But 3 minutes is not enough. Yeah. You know, our deacons, and it's kind of funny, I can talk denominationally here with you guys a little bit, because, you know, back when I grew up as a kid, we just did pastors and deacons. There weren't things called elders in those days. That's the way Baptists were. But as I went along, I said, I don't know about this, you know. And so I treated our deacons like elders. You know, every one of them had a ministry. All of them were multiplying disciples and those kinds of things. And so when we came together, we would first give an update about what our ministries are doing. And then we would give a prayer request. And then we'd pray. And oftentimes when we did that, then the other stuff would dissipate quickly. Now, let me go quickly to this. Our trustees, however, they had to deal with a lot of the building issues, you know. And some of those things would get complicated. And so therefore, they had to do a very thorough job in researching things and bringing it to people. And sometimes in business, please understand this, when you're dealing with insurances and building codes and all that kind of thing, it can be kind of hard-nosed. You know, you got to deal with this, you know. And how much are you going to spend? How much? So it can't all be just, you know, pie in the sky. It's got to be real stuff. But yet the spirit in which they did it was a humble spirit, which left a testimony with the lost world and a unity with the saved world. And so when they came together, it wasn't just have a prayer and move on. It was, let's let our hearts be united here and take a reasonable season of prayer to where our hearts can be one. And always be reminded that the end of all of this is Jesus. You with me on that one? Even as I come here today, I was over in the parsonage, I came here, and I said, and at the airport, you know, you got to know, I'm coming off of caring for a mother that's been in the hospital and is sick. And I'm coming off of mowing her yard and doing physical things and washing trucks, and I'm coming off of that, and I'm moving into this mode where I'm going to come to Houston and give a seminar to people I've never seen before. Except William. I didn't remember what he looked like. I may be trafficking in a little different culture where I'm pretty ignorant and I need to learn. But when I'm praying and I'm coming this way, I'm saying, Lord, I pray that everything I do here will end up back at your feet with more people loving you and loving you more. And so when we're building buildings or buying insurance or whatever we're doing, the attitude of those who are in charge of those things need to make sure that all of this ends up back at Jesus. Because this building, as beautiful as it is, this building is not an end in itself. It is only a servant to the people who live here. Right? This is the church. I mean, hurricane comes off, wipes the buildings out. We still have Chinese Baptist Church. Because it's the people. I think our time is up, isn't it? You guys are so wonderful. You just get me turned on. And but remember, Sunday school tomorrow night, we're going to do point three. And if staff wants the class to have these notes, I'll make them available to you. And then when we come back after lunch, we're going to be doing the last two pages. Who is the church? the last three pages, and what is prayer?